Welcome to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. This is Jorge Fascinetti. We recently asked our audience on Pituitary World News and our Facebook channel to share those events that really made a difference in their lives. You may have seen that we titled this segment, 20 Seconds That Changed Your Life. And by the way, there is a link on our website at pituitaryworldnews.org where you can share your 20 seconds. And we will be sharing your 20 seconds in future articles and podcasts if you agree to it. And we may even do some interviews to share your experiences in these podcasts. So please let us know, if you're interested, how to get in touch with you. Today, Dr. Blevins and I are chatting about his most memorable or important 20 seconds. So why don't we get started? Oh, but before I do, I wanted to tell you about today's intro music. That's Dr. Blevins on the Northumbrian pipes and yours truly on the guitar, trying not to ruin this beautiful Scottish ballad too much. I have to tell you that I have this thing for the music from Scotland. I guess it might be in my genes since both of my maternal grandparents were from Scotland. And you may ask yourself, how does someone with a Spanish first name and an Italian last name have Scottish grandparents? And that would be a very good question, except that we'll leave it for another podcast. Anyway, enough of my rambling. So, okay, Dr. Blevins, tell us about the 20 seconds that changed your life. You got 20 seconds.
Jorge, that's funny. Maybe that was it. I just had my 20 seconds. Actually, you know, I have to be honest and say there are several blocks of 20 seconds that changed my life, as is probably true for everybody. You know, the birth of my daughter, getting into medical school, something that happened with my parents, people that I encountered, not only physicians but also patients in my career, that somehow changed the way I take a look at my career and my life. But the 20 seconds that I want to talk about relates back to around 1992, maybe 91, when I entered a record store in Towson, Maryland.
Oh, that's interesting. Tell us more.
Well, I walked in and I heard this lovely music playing, and as soon as I walked in the door, I knew I wanted to own that CD, so I went straight to the counter and said, I'll have one of those. And I made that purchase. It was about 20 seconds in total, and the CD was by Maggie Sansoni called Mist and Stone, and Maggie Sansoni is a well-known hammered dulcimer player, and it was a collection of Celtic music.
Okay, keep talking. We want to know how this changed your life and molded you as a person today.
Jorge, I took that CD home and I probably played it so much that I don't think it wore out the CD, but it probably wore out the CD player. And I was just enamored with the music on that particular instrument. And it was probably a couple years later, I had relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, where I took a faculty job at Emory University in Atlanta. And I was walking with my family through the small town of Stone Mountain, Georgia, on one very hot, steamy July morning, and I heard the sound of the hammered dulcimer. So I followed that sound and encountered a man who had a shop where he made hammered dulcimers, and he was outside playing to demonstrate the instrument to a group of people. And I hung around, watched, listened, was just totally fascinated with the fact that here I was seeing a hammered dulcimer live, if you will. And he was playing some Irish music as well, so I was really enamored with that type of music as well.
I think I have the same reactions that you do to this music. It can be so beautiful and haunting at the same time. Maybe it's because it's so unique. I really don't know exactly what it is that makes it so special. So, did you buy a hammered dulcimer and learn how to play it?
In fact, Jorge, I did. I first rented one for a couple of weeks and learned to play a couple tunes on it, and then I bought one that he had made And subsequently, I bought one that was made by a famous maker, and I had two instruments there for a while, and I learned to play the hammered dulcimer. I focused on Irish music, and I focused on the music that was on that CD and on other CDs by the same performer, Maggie Sansoni, and just really learned to read music and to play music and to sort of open up that avenue of my life.
Well, I know you play pipes now, but do you still play the hammer dulcimer?
Well, no. In fact, I don't play the hammer dulcimer any longer. What had happened was I started buying up a lot of Irish music CDs and encountered one CD that had the Northumbrian small pipes, which I absolutely love, and also the Irish or the Ellen pipes. And it became my favorite CD. It was a CD called The Bagpipes of Great Britain and Ireland. And also had the Scottish pipes on it, mind you. And I went back to the guy who made the hammer dulcimer because he was a Highland or Scottish bagpiper, and I told him I wanted to learn to play the pipes, and he said he'd be happy to teach me. I says, well, no, I think I want to play the Northumbrian small pipes, but I also like the Irish pipes. And his advice was to play the Irish pipes and to not play the Northumbrian small pipes because there are more people played Irish music. So it was about 6 months later, I was at a Renaissance festival in Atlanta and heard the Irish pipes played again. I was totally smitten with the instrument. And within a couple of weeks, had been online. The internet was new at the time. And I'd been on the phone with a maker in Ireland who basically said he'd make me a set, but I had to come get them. So 5 months later, I'm on a plane to Ireland, and I pick up the Irish pipes, and I start that musical journey. Ultimately, I stopped playing the hammer dulcimer because I was just so enamored with the pipes and really felt that the pipes were my instrument of choice with the limited time that I had to play an instrument, being a physician trying to start a busy program at Emory University.
So how did that change your life?
Well, I became more proficient at reading music and playing music, and music speaks to the soul. Also a bit of a performer for people and sharing the instrument with others, but also met a lot of tremendous friends over the years. And in fact, some of the friends that I've met through the musical journey are some of my best friends today.
So I agree with you that the Northumbrian pipes have this beautiful, sweet sound that it's not as screechy or high as the other pipes. So how did you get started with that instrument?
Jorge, I started playing the Northumbrian small pipes about 8 months ago. I made the transition to the pipes, and I no longer play the Irish pipes because it's difficult to play two sets of pipes and to plan to develop any proficiency. But I feel like I've finally come home in that musical journey, and I've found my instrument and just absolutely love playing the Northumbrian pipes that are sweet and melodic and harmonious and have this honeyed sound of the drones. The musical journey is excellent. It's a little bit of a different genre of music, sort of the Northumberland, Scottish border type music is very interesting and fascinating and unique in its own right. And as you might expect through Northumbrian piping, I'm also making a lot of really good friends that are interesting people and very helpful, and enrich my life in ways that making friends through medicine does not.
Wow, so this musical journey started with 20 seconds of music in a record store. So I can see how you would identify this as something that changed your life dramatically. How else did that 20 seconds change your life?
Well, interestingly, along the way, I met a colleague at Vanderbilt who was an anesthesiologist, or is an anesthesiologist still, and he was from Ireland, so the fact that I played Irish music and he was Irish, we got along really well. In fact, our families became great friends. We would visit them regularly. They would visit us. One of the things I always enjoyed about visiting his home was the fact that he collected original Irish art by oil paintings mostly, but by Irish artists. they ultimately relocated to Ireland, and I was over there one time visiting, and we were on a tour through Connemara, which is a remote part of Western Ireland. And we're in this town called Roundstone, went into an art gallery, and there were paintings by one of the artists that he was collecting, and I was just totally smitten by one of them. It was a scene of, it was a water scene with seaweed and all of that. It was just a great painting. And when I returned home, I just couldn't get my mind off that painting, and I wanted to decorate my home with original art. So I asked him to send it to me, and he did. I sent him a check, and the painting came in, opened the box, and I looked at it, and it just didn't have that same luster that it had in the gallery. And maybe it was being in Ireland where it was very atmospheric and it was on a gallery and the light was shining on it, and that's very different than a box in the living room in my home in Nashville. But I remember saying to my wife at the time, gee, I could do this. And she says, well, go to the store and buy some paints and start painting. So I did. I went to the art store the next day and bought some canvases and oil paints, and I haven't stopped painting since. I've taken a couple portrait classes. I've made some tremendous friends through the art world, and I find creating art to be something that is very joyous and central to my core and my soul. As you know, I paint landscapes and portraiture and have focused largely on medical portraiture, and I paint scenes in medicine. So I'm combining that creative endeavor with my work as a physician.
Oh, isn't that funny how that happens? I can't tell you how many times I brought things from around the world, and you come home and you look at it and think, what was I thinking? Continuing, I know you've published an article on the art of medicine using the term in two ways, not only the art of the work that you do, but the art that a physician practices when they are practicing medicine.
Well, yes, Jorge, I like things that have double meaning, and certainly when I practice medicine, I like to consider it the art of medicine because I'm using a knowledge base to some extent, to a large extent, the things that I've learned from my patients and the things that I've learned through the practice of medicine, and then also founded in journal articles and research, and less so on guidelines that various groups will publish. But yes, I practice the art of medicine, and I like the double play on the words because I also focus my private thoughts on how art has influenced humanity and even the field of medicine over time with some of the portraits of great physicians and anatomists dissecting, etc. So in many ways, that creativity comes full circle, and I combine that with the things that I see and especially the things that I feel as a doctor.
Wow, it's amazing how those 20 seconds shaped your life. It is also really interesting to me that you can point precisely to those 20 seconds as the catalyst to your involvement with art and music. That's really fascinating.
Well, Jorge, yes, indeed. And I'm so grateful that I walked into that record store that afternoon in Towson, Maryland, when I was training at Hopkins, and purchased that CD. I don't know whether I would have ever found the Irish pipes or some other musical instrument, or whether I would have been painting today if it weren't for that 20 seconds. But these two creative outlets probably in many ways enable me to have the, if you will, distraction from medicine, or the opportunity to escape from medicine so that I can come back refreshed and do my job in a different way than had I not had a creative outlet. So that's just one example of how 20 seconds has changed my life dramatically in a very positive way, and given me plenty of joy and piqued my curiosity. It's been an intellectual journey as well, both in the field of music and also painting. And these two endeavors have really opened up my mind in many ways and probably have made me a better physician in a number of different ways of thinking about it. And so I would say to our listeners, think about your lives. Try to find a 20-second period of time that made you who you are, or enhanced your creativity, or your parenting, or your work, or something else. Try to focus on the positive things and not the negative aspects of your life. We've all had 20 seconds that changed us dramatically in a negative way. And I could share some personal stories in the future, but we want to hear from you folks about your story of how 20 seconds changed your life so that we can all be inspired and share this information and pass it around, because it's through doing so we will inspire others to take a look at themselves and a look at their lives and find that spark of opportunity, whatever that opportunity may be, where they can turn 20 seconds into something really tremendous for themselves and others in their lives.
Well, I couldn't agree more. So thanks really for sharing all this information. It's fascinating and really interesting. And thank you all for listening. So why don't we close the podcast by asking everyone again to send us their 20-second story and hear some more of Dr. Blevins on the small Northumbrian pipes. You've been listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary Worldviews. Thank you for listening.